you just know that you are that bitch. You just know that you are that girl. You just know that you are important. You just know that you are special. Okay, y'all saw the title when y'all clicked this. Y'all know what it's going to be about, but I don't think y'all actually really know what it's going to be about. I think y'all have an idea of what it's going to be about. I want you to keep in mind that you can watch all of these episodes on YouTube. We still have some available merch, and I'm so excited to talk about five things that make you way more attractive. I know our immediate thought is, what do I need to do? I mean, in lieu of Ozempic and Semaglutide right now, that's all over our TVs, all over our screens, all over our ads. That's not what I'm talking about. Becoming you is what is going to make you more attractive. This is all about falling in love with yourself. Everything that you embody, everything that you are, to become more attractive, you have to learn how to fall in love with yourself. This is not for the male gaze. This ain't for the girl gaze. I mean, we could do it for the girls and the gays, if you know what I'm saying. But most importantly, this is how we see ourselves through our own lens, because the moment that you love yourself is the moment, there's a level of true freedom that you tap into when you fall in love with who you are. There's just this another cusp, this another level. You stop caring about what people think. Your ego does not exist in things anymore, because you have fallen in love with who you are and all that you embodied, and there's no room for insecurities. You don't even have time to be a hater, because you just know that you are that bitch. You just know that you are that girl. You just know that you are important. You just know that you are special. And I'm so excited for this podcast episode, because I wish that I had someone talk to me like this, or I wish that I had conversations like this when I was a teen. I wish I had conversations like this in my early 20s. I wish that someone had sat me down and said, babe, falling in love with yourself isn't about how little that skirt is. It's about what's up there in that brain, about what's in the center of your heart, about what you feed your gut, about what you love and how you show up. That is the number one thing that is going to make you attractive, because it doesn't matter what other people think. It's about how you see yourself. There's this quote that says that humans were never meant to see their own reflection. I think that is so powerful, because I feel like the way that mirrors and things and the way that social media has defined beauty as this thing of like the way that we appear and the way that we look, it's very strange to me. And I feel like the older I've gotten, my definition of beauty has changed so much. I have been around some of the most stunning, beautiful people that are so fucking insecure on the inside. I hate to say it like that. I've been around some people that don't even meet all of the beauty or societal standards that America, white America, has created and forced us to be in. And they are some of the most confident, strong, bold, and beautiful people I have ever met in my life, even though they don't fall in line with societal standards at all. You can still be beautiful and still love yourself. You can still not fit the societal beauty standards and still love yourself. But if we remove looks and we actually look at what's on the inside, societal standards does not lie there. And that's what I want to dive into, is the importance of loving yourself without the outlier of outside beauty. So let's get into it. That was a very long-winded intro. So I want to talk about one of my favorite books, which I've said so many different times to y'all, is The Four Agreements. In The Four Agreements, there is a page where the author, he illustrates it so well, like when you're reading it, he talks about how there is a young lady that goes on, if someone says to you that you aren't beautiful, all it takes is one person to say something to you about your beauty. All it takes is for someone to say that you're not beautiful. All it takes is for someone to say your skin is actually too dark. All it takes is for someone to say you're actually too fat. All it takes is for someone to say you're too light skinned, you're whitewashed. And we take that one thing and it changes the entire trajectory of our entire life. We have to learn how to exist and be so happy with ourselves when we are sitting in the middle of hell. This is what this entire episode is about. It's about not allowing someone to define who you are. It's about not allowing someone to change and alter your reality because of a comment that they made when you were 4 and 5 years old. We don't have to carry that black magic with us. That's what they call it in the Four Agreements. It's about learning how to exist in white magic and moving with grace. Because if we take that one thing that that one person said to us, we carry it on in our life and we let it stereotype us and define us as who we are. And I think we see it so often where people on social media in particular are constantly being fighting to be represented. Like we see it with plus size models. We see it a lot with darker complected women. We see it a lot with just hair standards, 4C hair, 4A hair, just things like that. And I feel like a big reason why so many of us are fighting so hard is because, for one, we are living in a society that has not accepted it. And two, somewhere along the line, someone told us we weren't good enough. And we kind of allowed that to become our personality in a way where we are dedicated to fighting this societal mold that we have to, in a way, just fight and fight and punch through the walls of believing and knowing that we are okay and that we are enough. And I feel like for myself lately, I no longer want to be fighting to be accepted in a society that is committed to misunderstanding me. I honestly don't care anymore. And what I am trying to learn how to do is exist in the middle of hell and be happy in the middle of this hell. And what that means to me is I am not going to be in rooms and indoors where I constantly have to fight. I am just going to go build a fucking house and invite people in that are open to accepting. I don't need to be in the room with people that need to, that I need to convince to see it this way. Fuck that shit. I'm just going to go off and build what I want to build. I need to stop cussing so much on the podcast. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to go off and build what I want to build. And that's like why we have to All the People podcast. I have no energy to keep trying to become what you think is attractive, societally attractive. I remember when I was in my broadcast journalism class, when I first started doing broadcasts, I would want to do these think pieces, these documentaries. One of them was when Rihanna launched all of her foundations. This was maybe in 2015, 16, I can't remember. And the star of my subject was my best friend, Alexa. And she's a darker complected woman. We were talking about how amazing it was. So she was the star of this little documentary piece. When I presented it to the class, my professor at the time wanted us to focus more so on pieces that were about, I don't know, like some shit going on in DC about the plumbing issues and, you know, just all of these other stuff, or maybe about the presidential candidate or the governor and things like that. But I wanted to focus more so on documentary style pieces. He hated it. So the more that I kept presenting it, the more that I would just get like an F or like a B, or I'd have to rework it. And I remember the last day of class, we had to go and say like our goodbye to our teachers or whatever. So I went and talked to him, and I was so quiet in class. He's like, you were actually really quiet. I was like, I'm actually not a quiet person. I'm really not that quiet. I said, I just felt very, I didn't feel accepted in your class. I felt like my story wasn't accepted. So I ended up, you know, killing off what I wanted to be accepted by you. So that's what I did. I just started creating the shit that you wanted me to create. And he was like, well, I'm sorry that you felt that way. I just wanted you to create something that would get you a little bit further in life. And all it took was him saying that to me. And I just started changing the way I went on the next year or two just passing, because I just start doing what I thought worked for me and what I thought I wanted, because someone had told me that it wasn't enough. Sometimes it takes one person to tell you that you're not enough, or sometimes it takes one person to tell you that your idea isn't good enough, and we become a lot less attractive to ourselves. If someone tells you you're fat, if someone tells you you're ugly, if someone tells you you're not smart enough, we carry that with us for the rest of our life, and we take on these personality traits where we're killing ourselves off. I know I keep saying killing ourselves off. It's like my word of the year, I guess. But I need to fit into these spaces. 5 things that make you more attractive. I wrote these out very detailed, okay? Because of number 1 is going to be physical care and self-care and authenticity. The physical care for me is so important, Shades, because in the age of Ozempic, Wegovy, Semaglutide, every day you get on Instagram, you get on TikTok, there is a him, her ad about getting on GLP-1 and how happy I am for being skinny and losing weight. And I understand that, you know, it does make a difference and it does help and benefit a lot of people, but we're seeing a new wave and influx of people that don't even need to be on it. These things increases your chances of illnesses. Most importantly, if you get off of it, there's also been linked to like this rapid weight gain as well too. And you can say whatever you want about it. I've had friends and people around me that have been on it and their results have all somewhat been the same. I think when we rid ourselves so much and we hate ourselves so much, we go to extreme measures to be accepted. We've seen it with skin bleaching. We've seen it with our weight. We've seen it with our hair. We've seen it with modifying our bodies. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But once again, we as humans were never meant to see our own reflection. Constantly seeing our reflection gives us room to pick ourselves apart. Constantly seeing our own reflection also gives us room to say, hey, I actually don't look like that girl that looks like Halle Berry. But everybody's looking at her because she looks like Halle Berry and I don't look like that. I must change who I am to be accepted and loved. And the more that I change who I am, the more that I lose my authenticity, the more that I lose my features, the more that I lose myself. And if I lose myself, then there's no self-care, because my self-care is all about the upkeep of this facade or this new identity or this new way of looking that I am taking on. Because I'm not even giving my body what it needs at this point. I'm literally taking care of this new body or this new person who needs this completely different type of care that doesn't really result or feed my spirit and feed my heart. I know this is a very big conversation, and I think the conversation around beauty standard can get very tricky, and I know it can be very triggering for some people, but this is just me speaking truthfully as someone that has really had to I've seen so many people I love, and even with my own self, lose ourselves and not think that we're enough because we don't fit the mold. Like, it's crazy to me, like even like when I listen to how some women in my life who I love so much, who I think are the most beautiful people in the world inside and out, listen to how they speak about themselves, I just think to myself, you don't even know how fucking beautiful you are. You don't even know how gorgeous you are. You don't even know it, you know? When we lose who we are as people, we also lose our authenticity. And I've said it numerous times that there is a war on individuality and there is a war on authenticity. When we lose our authenticity, we lose who we are. When we start killing ourselves off, we lose who we are. When we start injecting ourselves with things, we lose who we are. When we start putting alcohol and harmful toxins in our body, we are altering our natural state. We are losing who we are. Your authenticity is what is going to make you stand apart. It's what's going to make you shine. It's what makes you beautiful. It's what makes you unique. It's what makes you everything that you are. So number one is physical care, self-care, and authenticity. When you think about your physical care, I'm talking about taking care of your body. I'm talking about taking that super fucking long shower, that long bath, shaving those legs or not shaving those legs, whatever you want to do. I'm talking about taking care of your hair. I'm talking about looking in the mirror and be like, baby, I love you. Like, we look good today. I know, you know what? We could go hit some reps in the gym. Like, we could tone it up. You know, we could tone it up. We could get it real tight. But what am I going to do to make myself feel better in the long run so I'm not deprived and I don't have to keep up with societal beauty standards? Because y'all, beauty fades. Beauty fades. And we are seeing less and less people age naturally. Like, I hate to, like, I don't even want to like talk about it, but we are seeing people, it's so rare to see people aging naturally now. And aging is so beautiful. And I don't like that society has taught us that it's not. It's so strange to me, but I'm getting so wound up on number one. We got to go to number two. Number two is educating yourself. Educating yourself is what is going to make you way more attractive. And when I say educating yourself, I mean educating yourself on who you are and what you like. Continuously learning who you are is so important. And when you start doing all these modifications and changing yourself and becoming someone else, you're taking away the time to get to know yourself, which in the long run is going to be a long uphill battle. Because the more that you push yourself out, the further away you're getting from it, and the more lost you're going to feel the further out you go. And it's just like, we can't keep pushing ourselves out. Our life is meant to be full of opportunities as individuals. And when you grow and when you allow yourself to become more intellectual, emotionally, and mentally, not only does it create empathy for yourself, but it creates empathy and understanding for other people, where you are no longer judging anyone else. Because when you take the time to love yourself, you're able to love other people for who they are differently, which allows you to respect differences, which also allows you to be in diverse spaces, which also allows you to respect different cultures and building a community. Like, I can't explain it. Like, educating yourself on who you are gives you room to love everyone else around you, because when you educate yourself on who you are and what you want, you don't feel threatened by anyone. When you actually love yourself, you don't feel threatened. Because you've educated yourself. You know who you are. You know you're that girl. You know you're that person. So when you don't feel threatened, you're able to love people easily. We don't need any more narcissism. We don't need any more vanity. We don't need any more of it. I am so tired of, like, sometimes, like, it's very difficult because on one hand, you have pretty privilege, and then on the other hand, you have someone that does not have it. They don't meet the societal standards. And even this pretty privileged girl, she knows that she can get ahead in life because she's so pretty. But the moment that someone tells her she doesn't look a certain way or she should do less of this, she just sinks, and it's like deplorable. Like, she just falls into the ground and grovels because she has been treated with respect based off of her appearance, meaning that there hasn't been any search for anything else. And then on the other hand, you have someone that doesn't meet societal standards, who fights to be respected, who has really tried to intellectualize themselves, but still can never get the day or still can never be loved. And it just sucks, because it's like, damn, the moment that we realize we're all the same, like, the more healing it's going to be. And I just hate that society is constantly putting us in competition with one another. Like, it's so exhausting to really just think through and really grasp. Another thing that makes you way more attractive is formulating an identity on your own and having self-reflection. This is something that a narcissist does not have. Narcissists do not have the capability to formulate an identity. And most men are narcissists, and most men run our ads, and most men run most of our beauty standards. And so with doing that, they are killing off our identity to make us become something else other than what we are. Identity is so important because it shapes who we are. It gives us a sense of the world and how we interact in the world. It gives us a sense of how we love ourselves. It gives us a sense of belonging. It gives us a sense of self-understanding. Having an identity is empowering. It helps us with decision making. It helps us love better. It helps us with our emotional well-being and connection to our purpose. Your identity will connect you to your purpose. Your identity will help you understand who we are and what we are not. And that's what I'm getting here. That's where I'm getting at. It is important for us to know who we are, but it's also important for us to know who we are not. It is important for us to say no. No is such a powerful word. There doesn't even need to be a sentence. The answer just is no. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not even going to give you a full sentence. The answer is just going to be no. Identity ties us into our sense of purpose. Understanding who we are and what we believe in helps us feel like we are part of something bigger. You could be in the middle of hell, and if you understand your purpose, you are going to feel so connected to something bigger. You're going to feel so connected to God, the God that is in you. Whether it's your work, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your contributions, you are going to know that you are beautiful. You are going to know that you are strong. You are going to know that you are powerful, because you don't allow anyone to tell you who you are and what you think and how you should feel. I really, want you to think back to that moment in your life where someone told you you were ugly or less than or fat. I just want you to think about it because it happened so early on. And I want you to think about how it has reflected us, how it has reflected our lives right now. Because we've all heard it. The prettiest woman in the room has heard it. The woman that doesn't fit the societal norms or mold has heard it. We have all heard it. And the moment that we realize we are connected in that way, oh, there's so much depth and so much beauty. We have all heard it. We have all listened to someone tell us that we aren't enough. We have all heard it in different ways and different fashions and different facades and different messaging. We've all heard it. We've heard it subliminally. We've heard it from men. We've heard it from lovers. Like we've heard it. I remember when I ran cross country, there was this guy I used to talk to and I was so fit and I loved running cross country. I was so fit. And when you run like that, you don't have any body fat. So I was in shape and he would always make comments and be like, her body's so nice. Like, look at how her body looks. And he kept saying that to me because he wanted me to somehow down the line think that my body as it was, wasn't enough. And I had never even actually given much thought to how my body looked until someone else had said it. And it's something that I carried with me all the way through my teens and then all the way up until my 20s. And I remember when me and my husband, you know, not to put our business out there, but I remember the first time, you know, me and my husband were intimate and the things that he just says to me about my body, like I just would feel so insecure about it all the time. And the way that he spoke about my body and spoke life into me, and it didn't come at the expense of tearing another woman down. Like a red flag number one is going to be when a man uplifts you by tearing down another woman's appearance. Run. Do not walk. Run from this man. I'm telling you right now, run. Being with someone who doesn't tear other women down so he can then turn around and call me beautiful is a fucking blessing. I can't explain it. And so when I met my husband, I was really taken aback by the fact that he was able to love my body as it was, because I had always thought my body is weird. I'm lanky, I'm long, like, you know, I don't have an ass, I don't have this and blah, 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 this. And like, no, that's not true. You know, the guy that was saying that to me before was definitely on the wrong team and definitely having some other problems and definitely having some toxic male masculinity with his own self to sit here and try to tell me that I am, as a woman, am not enough, which is fucking insane. And you have to pay attention to the shit when people are literally trying to tear you down and put you down. It's because they don't feel like that they are enough. They don't feel like that they are enough. So when I finally felt that and heard that and saw that, like, and I'm so serious when I say this, like when a man loves you or when someone loves you, it doesn't have to be a man, it could even be a friendship or whatever. There is no conversation around your body. There's no conversation around your appearance. The only conversation they're going to have is, you look beautiful, babe, you look gorgeous, you look hot, you don't need to touch your face, you look amazing as you are. And also another thing too is being with someone that's going to be in full support of who you are. Even if you do want to touch your face or do whatever, they're just going to be supportive of you. But there's not going to be any emphasis on your beauty. When I started losing my edges, when I was from being cyberbullied last year, when I started losing my hair, my husband didn't say anything to me. He's like, babe, it's okay. It's going to grow back. It's going to grow back. What do you need to get? It's okay. I love you. It's going to grow back. It was just that. There wasn't, I love you less because, bitch, you ain't got no hair and you bald headed. It was just like, I love you and it's going to grow back. And to be loved and to be accepted, not based off of your performance in the relationship, appearance-wise, I wish that on every single woman. Every single woman in my life, I wish it on you. Whether you're with men, whether you're with women, I don't care. I wish it on you because I cannot explain the importance of being loved without these conditions of you need to sexually satisfy me this way. You need to look at me this way. And I feel like so many women are in relationships like this where they are with men that are constantly bringing them down, or not even men, are with people. I don't want to just say men, with people that are constantly bringing them down, that they then go on to turn on other people and other women who might seem a little bit more confident because they're not getting that in their home and they're not getting that from their loved ones or they didn't hear it from their parents. And it's just time for you to start doing the work on yourself. And that goes back to me saying formulating an identity on your own self, reflection, all of it. That is what's just going to help. That's the number one key right there. That's what I'm trying to get at. Number four is going to be when it comes to making you attractive, way more attractive, is going to be vulnerability and gratitude. Practicing gratitude even for the small things will shift your focus from what you don't have to what you do. Practicing gratitude, hear me when I say this, even for the small things, shifts your focus from what you don't have to what you do have. There are people on this planet that have it way worse than you ever will. And we need to keep saying that. I don't know when therapists started saying, like, you know, you shouldn't say that people have it worse than you. Sometimes you need to prioritize. No, people need to understand that there are people that are praying to have the bad days that you are so blessed to have, because some people actually fucking have it worse than you. And it needs to be said. It needs to be screamed from the rooftop, because we have this, we literally have this generation of a bunch of sensitive ass people that are not open to allowing other people to express themselves, because we have to walk around on eggshells around these sensitive ass, big ass emotions. Gratitude and gratuity helps you be more open-minded. It helps you be more loving. It helps you be more kind. It helps you understand how blessed you are, even when you feel like you don't have anything right now, to know that someone out there is praying and hoping that they get to live in your current state right now, because your current state right now, as shitty as you might think it is someone else's dream life. It is someone else's dream life. And the moment that you have gratitude, the moment that you are grateful, is the moment that the doors will begin to open up in your life. I mean it. Being vulnerable and being open to the fact that I understand that it might be hard for me, but I'm grateful that God has woken me up today to give me the tenacity to keep going forward, even with these challenges. I'm so grateful for this couch. I'm so grateful for my headphones so I can listen to Janelle talk on her podcast. Gratuity makes you more attractive. It really makes you more attractive. Gratuity helps you love yourself. That is what's going to make you more attractive. Understanding and sharing the feelings of others is a powerful way to improve your relationships and deepen your connection with the world. When you empathize, you see things from different perspectives, which can lead to more kindness and better communication. And I think we as women, we need to work on our kindness with one another. We can be very fucking nasty to each other. And why this competitiveness that was not created by us, but created by society? Men's society, of what it looks like and how attractive we should be and how we should change ourselves. It started with the Barbie dolls. It started so long ago, and it's such a tired conversation, but sometimes you just got to get over yourself and be like, damn, that bitch is fly. Stop being a hater. Sometimes you just got to say, damn, that bitch is fly. That girl is cool. Damn. And you see it. You see it back and forth with us just annihilating each other and going back and forth with each other. And, you know, even like when I had like this little cyberbullying thing on social media, I was just like, damn. Maybe if these bitches were told that they were loved, maybe if they had people in their life that actually told them that they were loved, they wouldn't be acting like this, because this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, people are not loved enough, and it reflects in their behaviors. It reflects in their choices. It reflects in their decision-making. It reflects. When you are able to empathize and give emotion and show range and allow space for other people that don't look like you specifically, because I think it would be really refreshing to see more white allyship from white women, especially in communities of color. I think we could really change the world if there was more of that. If there was just more support from us as one, God, we would be able to include so many different beautiful and wonderful perspectives, which can lead to so much more kindness and communication. The last point I'm going to make that makes you more attractive is being present and learning to live in the moment instead of constantly worrying about the past or future helps you enjoy life more deeply and creates more meaningful connections with others. Learn to live in the moment. Put the phone down. Go touch grass. Go smile at yourself. Take some time to get to know yourself. Create more meaningful connections and have conversations and lots of them and try new things and be more open-minded. The five things that make you more attractive is 1, physical care, self-care, and authenticity. 2 is educating yourself on who the fuck you are. 3 is formulating an identity on your own self and self-reflection. 4 is vulnerability and gratitude. And 5 is learning to be present. I know that was a mouthful. I wonder how it's going to sound whenever it's edited, because sometimes I just talk and I'm trying to like just talk freely, just how I want to talk freely. But I just think that my idea of beauty is completely changing, because the most beautiful people to me are the people that know who they are without societal standards and societal pressure and continue to thrive in life and treat people with kindness and love. Like, to me, that's a bad bitch. A bad bitch is someone that isn't doing it for the male gaze, someone that isn't doing it to bring another woman down, someone that knows who they are, someone that uplifts women, uplifts other people. Those are things that make you more attractive. It's not about how skinny I should get. It's not about doing the facial balancing. It's not about how long my extensions are. What's going to make you more attractive is when you heal yourself from the inside out. And I don't want to say that appearance and taking care of yourself doesn't play a role, because it does play a role when you take care of yourself. Like, hell, I feel so good when I go get my hair done. I feel so good when my makeup is beat. I feel so good when I dress well and I dress nice. But these are all things that I have done to formulate my identity, because I know what works for me and what does not. When I take care of my hygiene and my body, and that stems from growing up in poverty, that makes me feel so good. It makes me feel powerful. And understanding what makes you powerful is how we live in, and we get rid of any narcissistic tendencies, and we are more open to expression and more open to love and more open to kindness. These are things that are going to make you more attractive. You. It's not me writing out a blueprint of like, you should do this and you should do that. You. You are the blueprint. You are the beginning of this. All of these things can be done right now at home with yourself. Some books I recommend are The Four Agreements, of course, one of my favorites. Another one is 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do by Amy Morin. Another amazing book to me is Down the Drain by Julia Fox. I think it's a beautiful coming-of-age story about someone who really, really groveled and had a lot of self-hatred and was constantly hurting herself, who at the end of the story ends up finding herself. I love self-discovery stories. Another one is Cleo Wade, All About Love. I love that book so much. And I absolutely love More Than Enough by Elaine Welteroth. I can't recommend it enough. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. My name is Janelle Roberts. I will see you guys in my next podcast. Remember, all of these episodes can be watched on YouTube. Thank you so much for tuning in. I love you guys so much. I'll see you guys next time. Bye.